Ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the Elyria Weekly Gazette, Mr. Will Rogers, Jr.
Thank you. You know, some newspapers claim they print all the news that's fit to print, and some others, who won't admit it, just print all the news that fits. Rogers of the Gazette, offering you again tonight, transcribed, another heartwarming story of a country newspaper and its friendly editor, and starring Will Rogers, Jr. It's built around a square, and after that, well, to tell you the truth, the town doesn't go too far in any direction. It never did, and it probably never will. Elyria is just about like it was a century ago. People with the same names live in the same houses, and for the most part, they have pretty much the same ideas as the generations which went before. Elyria doesn't want to be any bigger or any different. Doesn't want to change. The folks here like things just the way they are. It's midnight now. The town square is deserted, except for Ed Miller, the policeman. And it's dark, except for the light that's on in the office of the Elyria Gazette.
Everything all right, Will?
Oh, hi, Ed. Yeah, everything's all right, except the time of day.
Maggie gone home?
Mm-hmm. Supper time. I was just finishing up the stuff we never get to daytimes.
You just finishing up and me just starting to work.
Oh, that's right.
Well, you going to have anything exciting in the Gazette this week?
Now, Ed, how long since you read anything exciting in the Gazette?
Well, good long time, I guess.
Nearest thing to hot news this week is a crop analysis from the Agricultural College. You want anything special?
No. Just saw your light. Figured it was you working. Halfway hoped someone had broke in so I could arrest him.
Well, sorry to disappoint you, Ed. Always thought a peace officer liked things peaceful.
Sure, Will, but it gets a little monotonous sometimes.
Now, I'd call peace a peculiar kind of monotony, Ed.
Help you lock up?
No, nothing to do but turn off the light and lock the front door. Breeze must be from the south. Well, that air is right off Hamilton's alfalfa field.
It smells like it. Not a sound in this town except for two of us walking.
You can't hear the locusts, huh?
What them?
Look out.
Now, I'd say the silence of the night's been broken, Officer Miller.
That Martin Nevers. Never has known how to drink. Keeps practicing, though. Figuring to learn.
Well, gentlemen, we're up pretty late, aren't we?
Hello, Martin.
Yes, indeed. Oh, that's you, Will, yeah. You and a very blurry friend.
Come on, Martin. Let's go home.
Oh. Is that you, Ed?
Yeah,
oh,
come on.
Need any help, Ed?
No, Will. Martin and I do this a couple of times a week, don't we, Martin?
Ooh. Well, you'll have to speak louder, Ed. I was listening to the locusts.
I said, let's go home.
Shh, the middle of the night, Ed. Mustn't disturb the peace, officer. Hmm? Peace, officer.
You mean you take Martin home and tuck him in?
Yeah, a couple of times a week. Beats having him drive home. Besides, it breaks that monotony we were talking about earlier.
Peace, officer. That's a little joke.
Well, if you don't need me.
No, Will, he's harmless.
I'll go on home. Good night, Ed.
Good night, Will.
Good night, Martin.
Hmm? What did he say?
Never mind. Let's go.
How late did you work last night, Will?
Midnight, I guess.
Will Rogers.
Well,
I think it was midnight, Maggie.
It must have been. You filed all that math stuff that came in from the news service. You cleaned out the file.
What's all
pictures.
This ruckus about?
Well, when I left at supper time, you said you wouldn't be here more than another half hour or so.
Is that what I said?
Well, I'm supposed to help you. That's what an assistant's for.
And you're a big help, too.
What
did you do last night, Maggie?
I took some flowers to old Mrs. Reynolds. We had a nice talk. She's a wonderful person, Will.
Yes, she is. Did you see Jimmy?
Oh, yes. I almost forgot. He said to tell you he'd look in around noon to see if you had any errands to run.
Well, I don't suppose I'll have any.
And to pick up your old blue suit.
How's that again?
Now, Will, you know it's too small for you. You don't take a deep breath the whole day long when you wear it, and when you bend over...
Maggie?
It's tight across the shoulders. But it's not really worn, and it'd just fit Jimmy. I know it would.
Yeah, Jimmy must know it, too, seeing he's coming by to pick it up.
I told his grandmother you'd been meaning to give it to Jimmy for a long time.
Uh-huh. You've been giving this a lot of thought, haven't you?
I don't know when he's had a decent suit. They just don't have much, Will. There's some party tonight, and Jimmy's such a fine youngster.
Yeah, yes, he is. He's a good boy. Now, I don't know if it's my place to do any talking on the subject or not.
Oh, but... sure. Go ahead. After all, it is your suit.
I thought maybe you'd lost track of that. Well, anyway, Jimmy's welcome to it.
Oh, Will. Now, that's real generous of you.
Well, no. I think it's every bit as generous of you, Maggie.
I was pretty nice, wasn't I?
Well, there is just one thing, though.
Hi, here's Jimmy now.
Hello, Miss Button.
Hi, Jimmy.
Well,
hi there, Jimmy.
I got through a little early. I thought you might have something I could do around here.
My golly, I don't know what it'd be. I went down to the post office earlier, and that's about the nearest thing to an errand we've got around here.
Oh. Well, I just thought I'd check. I'm sort of hustling jobs. I mowed 5 lawns this morning, and I'm not due at the church till 1:30.
Well, you are hustling jobs. What's going on down at the church?
Oh, some of us are helping Reverend Erickson clear off that lot for the youth wing of the church, you know?
We did a story on it a couple of issues back, Will.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember.
Well, if I can pick up that suit, then I'll run it on home. Grandmother said she'd kind of sponge it off and press it.
Probably wouldn't hurt. Now, the thing is, though...
I'll get it for you, Jimmy.
What were you going to say, Will?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
Gee, it sure is nice of you to give me this suit, Will.
Glad to, Jimmy.
Here you go.
Oh, gee, thanks, Miss Button. And thank you again, Will. I'll be in Thursday, in time to deliver the papers, okay?
Fine.
Have a good time at the party.
Yeah, thanks.
Ah. He's a sweet kid.
Yeah. Maggie.
I stopped by your house on the way to work this morning. Mrs. Weatherwax gave it to me.
Oh. Huh? Oh? Huh? Middle of the blame night? Hello.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, ma'am?
This is Mrs. Reynolds, Jimmy's grandmother. I hate to call you at this hour of the night, but I just didn't know who else to turn to.
Something wrong, Mrs. Reynolds?
It's Jimmy, Mr. Rogers. He's in jail.
But what for?
Well, I was so confused and so worried. I'm not sure I understood Ed correctly. But I think he said Jimmy was drunk.
Drunk? Well, Look, Mrs. Reynolds, why don't I just go down there and see what this is all about? Seems to me like there must be some kind of a mistake here or something.
Oh, I wish you would, Mr. Rogers. I'm so worried.
Well, all right. Now, you just take it easy, Mrs. Reynolds. Make yourself some tea, and I'll go down and talk to Ed. I'll come over to your house right afterwards. How's that?
God bless you, Mr. Rogers. I'll wait till I hear from you then.
Yes, ma'am. Goodbye.
Well, there he is, Will. You can see for yourself.
He's sound asleep. as green as grass.
You never heard such moaning in your life before he passed out. I've seen some sick ones in my time, but this was the limit.
Remember the first drink you ever had, Ed? It makes you sick.
Well, I'm not so sure it's his first, but I'm going to make blame sure it's his last.
I don't think you need to worry about that. Wonder where he got the stuff.
He wouldn't say, or couldn't.
Where'd you find him?
Middle of the square, on the path near the statue.
Well, his grandmother's been worried half to death.
I know. She called here. Said she called whoever it was that had the party tonight, and they said Jimmy'd left. If he'd had time to get home, she said she waited some more and then called me.
Well, I'll take him home to her.
Now, Will, you're not taking him anywhere.
Oh, it'll save you the trip. I told her I'd stop by.
He's not getting off that easy. He's staying right here.
Well, oh, come on, Ed. That kid belongs at home now. I think I know why you didn't take him home at first, the shape he was in when you found him. But now...
Will, I don't want a whole wave of this stuff starting up. Now, how old is he?
15, I guess.
Well, we're going to nip this thing in the bud. Here now, I don't want a pack of juvenile delinquents in this town. No, sir. I'm going to make an example of Jimmy Reynolds.
What? You don't mean that, Ed. Why, he's just a kid, and a good kid at that.
He's old enough to get drunk, and he's old enough to take his medicine. And the law for being drunk in Elyria reads awful clear. A $200 fine or 30 days in jail.
What about Martin Evers? Or doesn't the law apply to adults?
Now, fining Martin or putting him in jail wouldn't change him a bit, Will. But this Reynolds kid, soon as he understands he can't get by with it, he won't be so quick to take a drink next time.
Ed, well, you can't do this. Look at Jimmy. He's had his punishment. Well, you can't make an example of him and on his first offense. Don't worry. His grandmother will have plenty to say to him, and so will I. Only let me take him home now.
You got $200 cash?
No.
Well, that's what it costs to take him home. His grandmother couldn't keep him out of trouble this time. Well, nothing says she can the next.
I think you're crazy.
Well, I'm not. I've got a law on my side that's crystal clear. And I tell you, you may not see it this way, but I'm doing this for Jimmy's own good in the long run.
I'm going to fight you on this, Ed.
That's your business, Will. If you and the Gazette want to uphold lawlessness, that's fine with me. But you watch. I'm going to make an example of Jimmy, and the responsible folks in this town will back me up.
You are listening to Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr. We'll return to tonight's story in just a moment, but first, this Friday night, CBS Radio invites you to Mystery with two famous misters of crime detection, Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, and Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces. Each attempts to solve an intricate murder mystery this Friday night on most of these same stations. Mr. Keene and Mr. Chameleon, presented by CBS Radio. And now we continue with the second act of tonight's show.
Look at that dust, Maggie.
I suppose anyone's bothered to look up a law in this town for years.
Librarian said it was the first call she'd had for this book in 15 years she'd worked here. Wait a minute. Let's see. Here it is. Drunkenness. The crime of drunkenness will in no wise be tolerated by the arresting authorities, constable, or sheriff of Elyria. Any person who, in the judgment of the arresting authorities, is guilty of drunkenness shall be subject to a monetary fine of $200 or 30 days confinement in the jailhouse provided for that purpose.
Oh.
In addition to these penalties, and if it would appear to serve the best interests of the town, the arresting authority may, at his discretion, place the offender up before public display and ridicule.
Wow. I guess we're lucky Ed didn't decide to carry out that clause.
Yeah. I thought there'd be something here about being a minor. But it doesn't mention age. It just says any person. Any person.
Does that mean Jimmy's got to stay in jail, Will?
Oh, until we can raise $200, I guess it does. His grandmother hasn't got it. She told me last night. He gets a little pension, something like $40 a month. Jimmy hustles for the rest of their income.
Oh, I know.
Look, Maggie, this law was passed in 1850.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just about where Ed Miller's thinking is, too, back 100 years ago. Tried to talk to him again this morning, but he's so bull stubborn. Now he thinks I want every kid over 10 getting drunk a couple of times a week.
Well, I know one thing. The town will never stand for it.
I hope you're right, Maggie. But, you know, I'd like to keep this thing quiet for Jimmy's sake and Mrs. Reynolds. Then maybe it'll take an editorial in the Gazette to let folks find out what's happening around here.
Well, maybe you could just talk to a few people first. I didn't think that it'd be a shame to plaster Jimmy's name all over the papers.
I'd give a lot to know where he got the liquor in the first place. I asked him this morning, but he wouldn't tell me.
Well, the party was at the Evers. Maybe you got it there.
Martin Evers' boy give this party?
Uh-huh. That give you an idea or something?
I'll let you know when I get back.
I'll tell you, Will, I don't want my boy's name dragged into this thing. Mine either, for that matter. Glenn just gave a little party. There's no harm in that.
I sure don't want to do anybody harm.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, Jimmy didn't accuse Glenn of doing anything wrong, did he? Because if he
now,
did,
now,
you know...
just simmer down, Martin. Jimmy hasn't accused anybody. This is all my idea. Well, now, I say that Jimmy made the mistake that every boy makes in taking his first drink. But I know him well enough to know that he wouldn't do such a thing all by himself. I don't even think it had been his idea to begin with.
Well, it seems to me you're missing the point, Will. Ed Miller found him drunk. He didn't find anyone else. He just found Jimmy. Hey, you act like Jimmy's only crime is getting caught.
Now, you know me better than that, Martin. I'm calling what Jimmy did a mistake, not a crime. And I say he should be made to understand what he's done. But I don't think he should be thrown in jail for 30 days.
Is that the law?
That, or a $200 fine. Old Mrs. Reynolds hasn't got the money to pay it.
Oh, poor old lady raising that boy alone, his parents dead and all. Why'd you come to me with this, Will?
Thought you might want to help Jimmy.
A little blackmail, Will?
Huh?
I'm afraid it won't work. You think just because Ed Miller's been a little lenient with me and you happen to know about
it... I just don't work that way, Martin, and you know it.
Yeah, well, maybe not, Will. Look, it isn't my place to interfere here. I'm sorry for old Mrs. Reynolds, but look, Ed's got the law on his side. And if he's of a mind to enforce it, he must have a good reason.
I'd like to help, Will, but I got kids of my own. It wouldn't sound right if I came out against the law of the town. Now, if someone else started the ball rolling.
My heart just bleeds for poor Mrs. Reynolds. I already took her a big kick of soup. And I feel sorry for Jimmy, too. I know he's not a bad boy, but... Well, I tell you, Will, I just can't be the one that takes the first stand on this thing. If one of the town leaders had come forward...
I know, Mr. Rogers. They've been calling here and coming to see me, bringing me food and their sympathy. But I'm afraid Jimmy and I need more than that right now.
Yes, I'm afraid you do, too, Mrs. Reynolds. Ed Miller isn't a bit disposed to changing his mind on this.
I don't understand. We Reynolds never were one to ask any special favors. We just expected our due. I'm not proud of what Jimmy's done, but he's a good boy. Nobody knows this better than I do, Mr. Rogers. Can't Ed see he's a good boy?
Well, that isn't the point, Mrs. Reynolds. You know, some folks just don't take well to power. A small man with a little power is a lot more dangerous than a big man with a lot of power. No, I just don't see Ed letting up on this thing at all.
Mm.
Somehow we're going to have to raise that $200.
Yeah. I'm just not sure folks will let me do that, Mr. Rogers. I've not got much of value, but I've tried to sell the little I thought might bring in some money. And everyone I call or see says the same thing. They're sorry for me and shocked at Jim. And they won't let me part with a thing on his account.
Now, Will, I don't think you know what you're asking of me.
I think I do, Reverend Erickson. For instance, I don't think you'd call Jimmy a sinner now, would you?
No, I don't think I would.
Well, a lot of folks in town have told me they'd follow along if some responsible person took the cause up here, and, you know, sort of a town leader.
Will, I've got my entire congregation to think of. They place a lot of faith in their minister, and I'm afraid a lot of restrictions on him sometimes, too.
Well, tell me this. Do you think Ed Miller's right in what he's doing?
I think he's absolutely wrong. Law and justice should always be tempered with mercy.
Long time ago, a French fella, Rousseau, I think his name was, said that good laws lead to the making of better ones, and bad laws bring about worse. Now, I say this law is a bad one if it don't spell out some protection to minors on first offenses.
The law could be more specific, all right, Will. It doesn't reflect entirely realistic thinking. But then, Ed Miller isn't reflecting the point of view of the majority of modern peace officers, either.
No, that's right. Of course, most of them had turned Jimmy over to Mrs. Reynolds and then had a good, smart talk with them both. It's a pretty bad exception. Well, thanks for your time, Reverend.
You're welcome to it, Will. And if I find I can offer you anything else, I'll be in touch with you.
Finish your editorial, Will?
Not yet. Money?
$28.73. From a few anonymous Illyrians.
For Jimmy's fine.
Uh-huh. And with your 10 and my 5, that makes... 3, carry the 1. $43.73. We're making progress, Will.
Yeah, I'm losing a little ground, too.
How do you mean?
Well, Mrs. Reynolds says that she and Jimmy will be moving downstate with her brother when this thing's over. She says her brother hasn't got much, but she won't have Jimmy here facing the shame of this for the rest of his life.
Well, you can't blame her. I think it's wrong, but the way most people have acted, you sure can't blame her.
Nope.
You putting that in, Will? About them moving?
Haven't decided yet, Maggie. I'm just saying now that Jimmy didn't have much chance of being a juvenile delinquent before. Well, after being Ed Meller's guest in jail, his chances of being a delinquent have improved considerably.
Here, here. Oh, that reminds me. I just ran into Reverend Erickson. He said to tell you he'd like to see you in church Sunday morning. Is that good, Will?
Oh. Well, I don't think it'll do me any harm, Maggie. I didn't miss the sermon, did I, Maggie?
There's not going to be one. Reverend Erickson just told everyone to meditate.
Oh.
It's been going on for 5 or 10 minutes.
Perhaps these verses from the scriptures will help you direct your meditations. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. The book of St. John, 8th chapter, 7th verse. And from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse the 21st, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Second Corinthians 3:6, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth light. And as we prepare ourselves for the day's collection, Remembering that these past months such monies have been specially set aside for the building of our youth wing, let me say to you, as Jesus said of young people, suffer them to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. It is not my custom, as you know, to count the collection as it comes in. But today I had a special purpose in so doing. If you were guided in your meditations by the verses I read to you, then I think you will not be surprised at what I'm about to tell you. You have been especially generous. And I find that there is more than we need to help one of the youths of this church who ordinarily worships with us on Sunday, who I hope will enjoy our new youth wing to the fullest. I speak of Jimmy Reynolds. I do not condone what Jimmy has done, but I condone the manner in which it has been handled even less. He is not a bad boy, Jimmy Reynolds. He is a young boy who made a mistake. A very common mistake, I might add. Against the possibility that you of my congregation may not agree with me in this matter, there is in the mail a letter to the Board of Deacons containing my resignation from this pulpit. Good morning, and God bless you.
I couldn't tell for sure, Reverend, but from where I've been watching them file out, I'd say you got yourself an overwhelming vote of confidence.
Well, it was very gratifying, Will.
For a minute there, I was afraid Elyria was going to lose three of its best citizens. You, Mrs. Reynolds, and Jimmy. Seemed to me that the wrong people were leaving town.
Well, I'm calling on Mrs. Reynolds when I take Jimmy home to her. I think, Will, she'll decide to stay in Elyria.
I think so, too, Reverend. And you know, because of your sermon today, maybe the town's come of age a little. I think even Ed Miller is going to see things in a different light.
You have just heard Rogers of the Gazette, starring Mr. Will Rogers, Jr., with Georgia Ellis as Maggie Button. Tonight's story was written by Kathleen Height and produced and transcribed by Norman McDonald. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, Constance Crowder, John McGovern, and Tom McKee. The special music was composed by Renee Garrigan and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tomorrow night, don't miss Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage for the story of the efforts of critic and agent to create the miracle of love for an actress with a papier-mâché heart. Don't miss Miracle of Julia, starting tomorrow evening on most of these same stations. Bob Lamond speaking. All summer long, enjoy a refreshing drama on the Thursday Theater on the CBS Radio Network.